Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
It's amazing how shocking it is when Christians find out Jesus is still alive. It's a fun revelation to find out. And that whole thing about sending the Holy Ghost really happened. And you know, Jesus ascended into heaven, but the Holy Spirit's still here. And the Holy Spirit is still moving among his people. And we just didn't find a scripture that said he stopped doing stuff. So we just watch him do stuff. It's pretty exciting. Through people. That's the amazing part. Through people. He does stuff through people. So thanks for keeping us in prayer during the mission trip. We really, really, really appreciate it. We do these mission trips for one reason. It's to activate people. That's our primary reason. We want to cooperate with the missionaries on the mission field, but it's mostly for us. And we want to activate people in gifts. And it's so funny, people who've never seen a miracle in their lives, never seen anybody get healed, never had a word of knowledge, never had the Holy Spirit use them in a supernatural way, come and just miracles. Historically it was, how you doing, Corey? You feeling good? Historically it was like salvation and healing, but we really leaned into miracles this year. I just really felt like we were supposed to activate miracles, and it was just crazy. It was just crazy how many miracles we saw. It was just, stroke victims don't need healed. They're not sick. They need a miracle. Part of their brain died. That's why part of your body doesn't work after you have a stroke. You get deprived of blood and it dies. And for it to start working means a miracle happened. Because where stuff wasn't there anymore, now it's living and firing. I don't know if you've actually seen a miracle before, but when you do, it freaks you out pretty good. And if you get tired of seeing them, you probably haven't seen one. Because, it just freaks you out every single time. Right? Am I right? And if you've seen a miracle, you know what I'm talking about. It's just crazy. And so, we just saw them everywhere. And, how do I say this? We would get, so with the sun, I don't know what's happening down there. Now, you know, I just need more pigment or something. I understand. Because it was hot. And I was burning and stuff. And we got so tired, we get irritated. Just make people get miracles. Like, I don't have time to explain this to you. Like, we go with the local people, house to house. We're like, just stop explaining it. We just need it to happen so we can go back to the shade, please. Like, I'm just tired. Just be healed. Okay, I'm leaving now. Tell them about the church. And what's funny is Chris covered me in that testimony of him and Isaac. Isaac asked me first, like, hey, there's a guy with a cane. I'm like, I don't speak Spanish, son. I'm tired. So tired. And so he talked Chris into it. Chris was a walking miracle factory. And he should get a shirt made. It said, stroke, I wish you would, you know? Because they were popping for him. These stroke victims were popping for him. And Duke just left a mess everywhere he went. That was pretty funny. We were getting irritated because Duke would always be away from the team. We're like, we're having a meeting. Stop healing people. Come to the meeting. Stop it. Stop it. Come to the meeting. Oh, let me tell you a really quick funny story. This is a funny one. I was going to tell this next week, but okay. I'll finish pretty close to on time, so just give me a second. So we were at this one. Did I talk about the police? Oh, I haven't been here. I was going to ask if I told the story here, but I haven't been here. So it must have been another church. So we were in this square, and Corey was playing guitar, and we were singing and worshiping, just kind of trying to attract people, and then we were just praying for them and healing and whatnot. Remember that, Corey? Remember that? And we were supposed to go shopping, but we couldn't go shopping because we couldn't go like a half a block until we stopped people and people get saved and healed, and to the point where people were stopping some of our team to say, oh, you're praying for me? Like, what's happening over there? I have an injury here. I just saw that. Can you pray for me? And so all these people are getting healed and saved on the way. And I walk across the street, and we couldn't find Brandon. But we saw the silhouette of a man much larger than anybody else in Mexico. And we said, that must be Brandon over there. And so we come across the street, and as we get across the street, people start falling out in this marketplace, right? And so there was like, it was like kind of a tight little hallway, right? And so, you know, the shopkeepers who were trying to work are starting to fall out, right? To the point where people started getting concerned. They come up and they're like, why are people laying on the ground here? What has happened, right? And so, and there's a lot of violence in Mexico. There's a war happening. And so people falling to the ground, they don't think good things. Like, that's not, oh, something great must be happening, right? Like, and so there's a bunch of us there, and people are getting healed, and people are on the ground. And this guy comes up, and he calls the police, because he's like, what's happening? And so he's calling the police. I'm like, oh, this could get interesting, right? This could be very interesting. And so we're praying for these people. And the one lady had hearing issues, and her hearing got better. And she had visions of Jesus. And this other girl recommitted her life to Christ. And Chelsea's like leading a whole chicken joint to Jesus. And there's like, you know, in this one little area. Now, mind you, we're just trying to get to the market to do some shopping, right? And like, that's my goal at this point. I'm like, oh, they fall. That's going to make it take longer. Like, I just want to get to the market, right? Like, right? I just want to get to the market, right? I heard there was some rotisserie chicken. I was leaning into that. You know what I mean? And people are falling. I'll tell that story later. And so at this one point, I was telling Corey, come on, we're waiting for you. He's like, she's getting healed. I'm like, is she healed? Because we can go. And so so we're praying for these people. This is really funny. We're praying for these people. And finally, like, the Lord's done ministering. We get them up. And as soon as we get them up, the police showed up. And they're like, what's going on here? What's going on here? And we're just like, nothing's going on here. I just want to go to the market. Anyways, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this time together. We love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Hey, I wasn't here last week. I heard Corey did a great job. Hallelujah. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to be kind of brief today because I've wasted so much time, but not really wasted. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're in our message series. Independence. I couldn't remember what it was there. Thank you. I'm fried. Walk in independence of Jesus. We don't want to be independent from God. We want to be in dependence of Him. And when you take yourself out of your comfort zone and you begin to do things that are uncomfortable because God told you, you have to learn to live in dependence of Him. And that really is the goal. That's really the what Jesus desires for us, that we live dependent. We want to be dependent on Jesus. Because if we're not depending on Jesus for our success, that means we're depending on ourselves. And I don't want to be at the center of my world. Right? I don't want to be the center of my world. That's humanism. Humanism says that I'm the most important thing going on the planet. Christianity says that Jesus is the most important thing going on in the universe, right? And we say that and we confess that, but don't really live like He's in charge or we depend on Him. And it's really a crazy life when you step out and begin depending. Because He starts doing things in your life that challenge your heart, begin challenging your insecurities. He begins challenging your belief system. He starts challenging the walls that you built very carefully to keep yourself safe. Jesus is not as interested in our safety as we are, right? He enjoys us taking risks and setting ourselves up for failure. I love everybody who goes overseas to do anything for Jesus, right? I'm domestic or international. If you're doing stuff for Jesus, we're on the same team, amen? If you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in any church this morning, we are on the same team. We may be doing something slightly different or looking at it from a different angle, but we're on the same team, amen? That's why we got kind of a strict rule. If you're visiting a church, don't go evangelizing for our church, right? That's wrong. It's out of order, right? It's not the goal to build a church. It's the goal to build the church, right? As we look around Boca Raton and you start counting the churches, if you count very carefully, you'll find out there's one. The Church of Jesus Christ, right? There's only one church in Boca Raton. There's only one church in Florida. There's one church in America. One church in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ has many expressions, but there's only one church. And so if you're going overseas and you're building a wall or painting a building, hey, I'm happy for you. You're handing out buckets of food. That's great. For us and what we're called to do, I could do all that without Jesus. I can paint a building. I can hand out food. I can go do a little human video without Jesus. I want to go overseas and do stuff that I can't do without him. Amen? It's an awkward thing when you tell a crippled man, try to start moving your legs. And they start arguing with you. I'm crippled. I understand you were, but let's give it a shot, right? And they're like, I still can't move them. Like, oh boy. Oh boy. Let's try again, you know? And then you see them actually moving their hand. You're like, well, you're really crippled, right? But you got to step out and you got to take this risk of failure. You got to take this risk of failure in order to see success. If there's no possibility of failure, then there's no possibility of success. Amen? That's a good word right there. Right? And so if it's not possible to do things without Jesus, then it's really impossible to see a miracle, right? And so we want to do things we can't do to see God glorified on the earth. It's our job to manifest Jesus on the earth. That's what we're here to do, to establish his kingdom, spread his goodness, see the kingdom expanded on the earth, right? Get people in. That's what we're called to do. And in the Bible, it talks extensively about how we do this. Now, we can use God's plans to further our purpose, or we can kind of surrender our lives and expand his purpose. And what I have found is it always works out better. It's always more satisfying. It's always more rewarding. It always is more fulfilling when we allow God to set the agenda. Amen? Are you with me? So as we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, Peter writes, excuse me, he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If you could leave up verse 6, I would appreciate it. Hallelujah. Peter tells the church, as he's talking extensively in 1 Peter about suffering, he talks verse after verse after verse to a church who's being persecuted. And persecution doesn't look like I'm scared, I'm going to be embarrassed. Persecution looks like we're murdering your friends and family, right? Persecution is real. This is not psychological, it's not emotional persecution, it is physical. It is people being murdered for the gospel. And Peter's telling them, hey, you may suffer. You may suffer for a while. The starvation that was happening, beginning to happen in the church, as the persecution began, as the diaspora was happening, people were being chased out of Jerusalem. The Christians were being chased everywhere and had to leave their businesses, families, homes. They had to go everywhere. And Peter's saying, hey, guess what? All this stuff that you're doing will be rewarded, right? Don't try to avoid persecution. Don't try to avoid suffering. Don't live your life with the main goal of comfort. If you make comfort your main goal, then it's not going to take much for the enemy to get you off task. Right? If comfort is your number one goal, it's going to be very easy for the enemy to get you off task. It's very easy to get us uncomfortable when we're searching for comfort. And Peter's saying, hey, if you're searching for the grace of God, then you will receive comfort. If you pursue comfort, you're never going to get it, because the enemy can always deprive it easily, right? But if we're seeking Christ, we'll receive comfort. Are you hearing me? And this is what Peter was talking about so much. And as we look at this verse right here, depending on where you come from in your faith walk, depending on what history has been like for you, depending on what fathers, both in the faith and in your natural life, have been like, you may see different things in this verse. For some of you, the thing that pops out more than anything is the word humble yourselves. Two words. That you have to humble yourself. Now, if you have been raised in a system where your needs are not important, that is scary. If you've been in a church system that is kind of heavy-handed, that makes you worried where I'm going with this, right? But if your heart is healed, and if you actually trust God and your leaders, what sticks out to you in this verse is that God wants to exalt you. The whole goal here is that God would exalt you. That's the goal. To Peter, it was kind of a given that our whole goal is that God would exalt us. Clearly, that's what we're going after here. And so Peter tries to give some keys. Like, he's like, I know it seems like God's not with you. I know it seems like you got to take care of your own life. It seems like you're on your own. It seems like you can't trust people now. I know it seems that way, but I know. I'm telling you, you knew this deep in your spirit that God wants to exalt you. Let me help you figure it out. Amen? Now, we had challenges in Mexico because of there's a strong hand of religion, right? If you think about it, there were native people there, and then people came and said, if you don't worship our Pope and our God, we're going to murder you, right? And so as we talked to the missionaries there, that fear of death was the foundation of Christianity in Mexico, which is not a foundation you want to build your life on. Right? And so this fear-based Christianity is a real stronghold in Mexico. Clearly not all of Mexico. We can't generalize about an entire nation, you know, based on, you know, a couple of regions. But the love of God is not necessarily the foundation of the church at large. And so as we minister, fear is never satisfied. Fear is a taskmaster who's never satisfied. If you try to appease fear, fear will just grows. Right? You feed it, it grows. Right? You'll never satisfy fear. And so as there's a fear-based Christianity, we come up with rules to it because fear demands, right? Fear demands from us. So rules would just keep coming in. And so one of the challenges we had was the stronghold of religion. And we want to respect the local church. We're not there to tell them that they're wrong, right? That doesn't help when Americans come and rebuke you and leave. Right? That doesn't help the missionaries, doesn't further the gospel, you know. And so we have to work within their understanding just to try to move the ball forward a little bit, right? Just to try to establish some things. And if God crashes in and you know, gets a Hail Mary that scores, hallelujah, right? And so that's kind of what the miracles are. The miracles bypass the religion straight to God's goodness. The healing's kind of like, we don't care what you think, you're now healed. Now go figure this out. Work that into your theology, right? This kind of crashes into their reality, right? And so instead of rebuking their unbelief, we just kind of implant a new belief and say, work this in your foundation and, you know, tell me what you come up with, right? All right? And so we would try to work that way. And because of this false belief that God is angry, let me tell you a story. Friday night, they didn't talk about the Friday night service. Oh my gosh. I don't know what to tell you there. But I was preaching, and it was late, and the people were falling out. And this woman falls on the ground, and she thought she was going to start prophesying in the middle of my meeting. And for a second, I was like, is this Holy Spirit? And then she starts talking about how the church is lost. I'm like, I thought Jesus said he would never lose any that the Father gave him. And that the church needs to repent. I was like, now the father is gossiping about his son's wife? I don't think he's doing that. I'm pretty sure, right? If you want to make an enemy of me, talk bad about my wife. But some people call that being prophetic. I call it being pathetic, right? Like that's not, right? But they thought they were being spiritual. And I was getting a little angry. Jesus, forgive me. Amen. And we said, if she keeps talking, get her out of my meeting. And they didn't do that, praise God. But they did quiet her, right? Because in them, God comes, we need to cry, and we need to talk about how angry God is with us. And I'm like, you can really be happy. It's okay, you know, because joy is a third of the kingdom, right? Like, God is happy. And here's another revelation for us. God is not intimidated by us. If you become amazing, he's not going to be intimidated. Does this make sense? If you become amazing, he's not going to be like, oh no, Carl's going to take my place. Like, he's not. He's like, this throne fits real good. I'm all right. I'm not worried about anybody knocking me off it, right? And so in some cultures, we can't think well of ourselves because then that means we're taking away from God. And God's so amazing, there's no way I can cast a shadow on him. Partially because he is light, right? Right? And so he'll never be in my shadow. Right? And so we can be amazing because our God is amazing. Right? And so we would have to share with these people, hey, God is really happy, number one. You don't have to be terrible or sad or low in order for God to be exalted. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter, it says that God actually wants to exalt you. Why would God want to exalt you? Right? Because you're his child. That's pretty simple, right? In my house, my kids come number one. Right? There's no kids who are more important in my house than my kids. Nothing against your kids, but my kids are number one, right? And we're in his house. He doesn't mind us being number one. That makes sense? I'm number one in my father's house. How about you? Now, if you had a bad father, then that's a scary notion. But I have a very, very good father in heaven who has fathered me very well. And I allow him to love me, right? And so, but the challenge, when we get this revelation that there is a, that God wants to exalt us, we have a decision to make. And I want you to hear this very carefully. We have a decision we have to make. Are we going to receive God's blessings, or are we going to try to take his blessings? Are we going to receive them, or are we going to try to take them, right? We can find a revelation of God, and we can then begin to work it into a formula that leaves God out of it. Wow. Right? We can find that if I speak the word, it builds faith, and then I can receive his blessings. Or I can learn that if I speak the word enough, I get what I want. Are we trying to take his blessings, or do we want to receive his blessings? If you want to take them, then you have to keep them, and you have to be the most important thing so you can guard them. Now, if you decide that you're going to receive them, then you get them by grace, and the grace helps you maintain them. Right? And so what Peter's talking about here is, hey, I know you want to be exalted by God, because who wouldn't? He's a great father. Here's how you do it. If you keep yourself humble under his mighty hand, then all his blessings come into your life, and he exalts you. Right? If you want to take his things and you say, oh, I want God to bless me, so I got to find somebody to submit to. Now it becomes a work that's never satisfied. Does this make sense? Yeah. And so Corey talked about it last week about submitting to elders. And so if we're going to use the formulaic system, I'm your boss, and the only way you get anything from God is if you listen to me. That's how you could look at it. Or we could say, God brings elders into my life, according to Ephesians chapter 4, who have something that I need. And if I listen, I'll get it. Now, if again, I hate to keep saying these caveats. If you've been in a bad church system and you had a church boss or an overseer who was overbearing, you have some unlearning to do. You have to stop putting that on every leader in the Church of Christ, right? You got to stop putting that on every leader in the body. We got to say, okay, I'm humble. Now the greatest risk for you is to begin to trust again. Right? That makes sense? But God brings the fivefold ministry because these people have something you need. And if you'll actually say, humble yourself, say, man, this person, God brought this person in my life for a reason. I need something from them apparently. So I'm just going to do is be humble. And you'll just watch this river of grace flow into your life. That's what I want. I want a river of grace to flow into my life with the gifts and power of God. Humility releases grace. If you never know what to do in a situation, if you ever find yourself in a situation you don't know what to do, the answer is always be humble. What's the humble thing to do here? If you're ever in a situation, I don't know what to do. My wife and I were just talking this morning. She's like, oh my gosh, I just talked myself into a pickle, right? Can't believe it. What do I do about this? I'm like, well, let's think about what the honest, humble thing would be. She's like, oh, okay. There you go. She picked the honest, humble thing, and then the answer became very easy and very clear, right? The enemy wants us to protect our image, protect ourselves, make sure nothing bad happens. And God's like, if you will just release it to me, I got you. I mean, you can get yourself if you want, but I got you. Does this make sense? In Matthew 23, it says, Jesus says, this is one of the scriptures, the cornerstone scriptures of our church. Matthew 23, starting in verse 11, he says, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Right? Peter said, humble yourself so that God will exalt you. I want to be exalted by God. Here again, you're like, well, I don't know if that means that. Well, here's Jesus saying it. So probably he knew what words he was using, right? Now, if you try to make yourself important, a humbling is coming. But if you humble yourself, he'll exalt you, right? Now, there's a difference, hear me, between humility and humiliation. There's a difference between humility and humiliation. Self-humbling is true humility. Self-humbling is true humility. Being humbled is humiliation. Do you understand the difference? When you set yourself in pride, a fall is coming and you will be humiliated. If you choose to make yourself low, then you become humble. That releases grace. Humiliation releases embarrassment, right? And I really don't like to be humiliated. It's really, I'm too prideful, and so I just try to walk humble so I won't be humiliated, right? It's a type of self-preservation because it just hurts, right? And so I just say, I see a humiliation over there. Let me just get humble now. Right? You all know what I'm talking about, right? And so he says, again, in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in proper time. Now, let me kind of pick at this verse one more time. I am getting wrecked right now. When you think about the mighty hand of God, does that sound like the hand of judgment? Because the only thing he says that his hand will do here is exalt. If you humble yourselves under his hand, what's he going to use his hand for? To lift you higher. What's your father look like? What's your father look like? That's what your father's doing. Bad father? Oh, it's a mighty hand. He's going to hurt me if I don't. Actually, he says right there, his hand is there to exalt you. But if you don't humble yourself, he can't exalt you. I want to be exalted. Not above you. Just in the eyes of my father. Right? I want to be positioned to receive everything he has for me. I am just, forgive me, I am getting rocked right now. The Holy Ghost is. So here's what you have to do. God, okay, watch this. He says that he may exalt you when? That's the part there, though. And so God tells Joseph, okay, God, I'll do that, but what's the proper time I'm going to be exalted? And then all of a sudden things get silent, right? Then there's static, the station turns off. Who remembers back in the day we had four stations in South Florida, and then there was like the U, you know, you'd be like a 23, you'd try to find one every now and then. Like, and so remember at like midnight, the stations would turn off, they'd like play the national anthem, and there'd be flag waving, and then they just go to static. I'm like, oh, I think I'll watch TV tonight. Psh, I guess I'm not, right? And so you hear God tells you, here's what you need to do, go serve that brother. You're like, okay, God, and what's it for me? Wait a minute. Hello? 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 You know? Why have you grown silent, Lord? You know? Why hast thou forsaken me? But God's like, just, you know, if we trust him and he says, hey, I just need you to give that person some money. You're like, but I kind of need the money, God. Like, you start explaining to him why this isn't a good word. This is a really good time right now. I don't know if you know this. New Xbox is coming out. And spent a bunch of money on clothes, and so I kind of need that money. Silence. He'll exalt you when? The proper time. And let me carefully say this. The fact that you think you know the proper time shows you have not necessarily submitted yourself to God. Right? Like, no, now's a good time for the season to end, God. Not the proper time. Does this make sense? And so here's what you got to do. Here's what you have to decide in your life. You got to decide. You don't have to be anywhere. Right? Are you in a hard season today? You're there because you choose to be here. I choose to be in this season. I could run. I could walk away from God. I could create my own season. But I'm choosing to trust God in this season. If you don't make that decision in your heart, then the grace won't flow. If you martyr yourself, you don't get blessed. You got to be martyred. Right? If you martyr yourself, it's called suicide. There's no blessing for that. Right? And so if you decide, I'm in this very hard season, and if I want to, I could walk away from God. I could choose another path. I could choose not to submit. I could go back to man's system, but I choose to be here and trust God. Right? You, right? And you could tell him that. You don't, I mean, again, I said this a couple weeks ago. I think when we voice our frustrations with God, I think it honors him. That you trust the relationship so much that he's not going to run away when you tell him what you're feeling. I'm trusting you with my feelings now, God. And I'm trusting that as I'm telling you this, you're not going to reject me. That's the sign of a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship is not one without disagreement. A healthy relationship isn't one without conflict. A healthy relationship is where I can voice my conflict and not be rejected. That's what a healthy relationship, that's what a healthy marriage looks like. Hey, I can talk about this thing bothering me. And if I'm doing it in a mean spirit, you're going to tell me and I'm not going to run away. Right? Because you've yelled at God before. And then you're convicted afterwards, right? But he didn't reject you. He's like, I hear you, but, you know, the tone we got to work on. Got to work on the tone. Right? Because you still had a grievance. You weren't dropping the grievance. You were just dropping how you said it to him. Right? In the proper time, he will exalt you. You know? And let's look at the next verse again. Whew. Hallelujah. He says, in the proper time, he will exalt you, casting all your cares on him because he really cares for you. He really does care. He does care for you. And you say, well, if you did care, let me finish a sentence for you. He would send his son to die on a cross for you. There's no way him helping you with rent can be more important than eternal salvation. That is the mark of caring for you. That you'll spend eternity in heaven with him. Not only that, he makes himself vulnerable to you, right? Whatever you ask in my name, you shall receive. Puts his spirit on the inside of you, gives you his word, and trusts you with his kingdom. He cares for you. Yeah, but what about my rent? What about it? What about it, right? We're talking about the crumbs here. He's not a god. You got to remember the context of this. These pagan gods during that time were distant and you could not approach them, right? They were to be served. Why? Because they were demons, right? And demons are never satisfied, right? There is no god but our God. And it's not because it's our God. We all found out that he is the God. And we said, might as well follow the living one, right? Yeah. It's not that, you know, we're the right people and we have the right God. No, we found him. Like, oh, that's the one to follow, right? We're just, I don't know, fortunate, blessed, lucky, whatever you want to call it, to have found him. Hallelujah. Although he wasn't lost, we were, right? He found us. Thank you, Jesus, right? But these pagan gods didn't interest themselves in our human affairs, right? If we wanted their blessing, we had to do certain things, right? But God lowers himself to recognize the needs of our lives. That is the God. I mean, why would he care about your rent? I mean, you have had the most ridiculous prayer requests answered in your life, I'm sure. Yes. Just stupid stuff. You're like, what do you even care about this? And yet you did it, right? Like, I remember last year when I was, I was in Mexico. And I'm just like, I got a little secret for you. I'm not Mexican, right? Tortillas get old. And I was there for 2 weeks. One night, Arturo, who's the missionary there, said to us, hey, do you want to go for Indian food? This guy wants to take us for Indian food. Now, me, I could care less about Indian food, but my wife loves Indian food, right? And the other couple who was with us the first week, Kellyanne loves Indian food. And we're like, Indian food? Hallelujah. Come on. Anything but tacos. Yes. Yes. I don't know what Indian food is, but yes. Havish makes amazing stuff. If it's anything like that, yes. And so he's like, it's 10 minutes away. Now, you need an interpretation of tongues to hear this. Apparently, 10 minutes in Mexico means in any indeterminate amount of time. If you get any number of a time, believe it, unless it's 10 minutes. 10 minutes means at some point we'll be there. That's what that means. So Indian food was 10 minutes away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 40 minutes later, right? It's approaching midnight. We pull up to the Indian restaurant, which turns out to be a Middle Eastern restaurant, which turns out to be tacos with different meat in it than we normally have. Are you serious? I wanted to go to bed early and eat a power bar and go to sleep. But I'll take my wife to Indian food. So I get, instead of flat things of meat, I got a round ball of meat in a corn tortilla. I'm like, are you serious right now? What do you want? Indian food. I don't see that on the menu. Hallelujah. I love going to bed at 2 a.m. It's awesome. Last year I was in the restaurant. I'm like, Lord, I just cannot eat any more tacos. And so I turned to the dude. I'm like, do you have cereal by any chance? He says, Zucaritos? I was like, yes. Mexican cornflakes. Yes. There is a God in heaven. He just answers stupid prayers for us, doesn't he? You're like, I'd sure like a better job, but I'll take this little treat that you knew I would want for no reason at all. Sure, right? Like, he blesses you in the midst of great struggles. And we can look at it. Hear me. We can look at it like, why don't you care about this big thing and you're giving me this stupid little thing? Or you can look at it like, man, this thing isn't happening, but he just showed me he cares, so it's going to work out. Yeah. That thing could be whatever you want it to be. It could be whatever you want it to be, right? That thing goes on sale that you were praying that you really wanted but you couldn't afford. Like, that could be like, wow, God doesn't care about my immigration status, but he cares about my shoes. Or you can say, I know that's going to work out because God just showed me again that he cares about me. You can use it however you want. And in the proper time, all of this is going to work out. We get to choose what all these things mean because God, I don't know why, but lowers himself to us. So why would God humble himself and attend to our cares other than he has shown, demonstrated, displayed what real humility looks like? If anybody could not care about us, it's God. But yet he does. Luke 1:52 says this. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. Now, this is a funny verse to use. Why? Because that's what Mary prophesied. Now, in the American church, we're scared of Mary for some reason, right? We're so scared of Catholics that we don't want to do anything that they might do, right? So Chris is up here with a crucifix with Jesus on it. You want to scare some Christians? Put Jesus on the cross as if he wasn't there coming into his kingdom. Quote Mary, you want to scare some folks, right? And so anything in Mexico that looked anything like Catholicism, they're scared of, right? Not all of them, obviously. But your fear gives that thing power. Not for nothing, but this whole chapter, Luke 1, Mary's all over that thing prophesying. I want to hear whatever Jesus has to say through Mary, right? She prophesied some good stuff about being overshadowed by, or actually it was Elizabeth prophesied over Mary about being overshadowed by Holy Spirit. I'd like to do that. Right? And so here's Mary prophesying. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. Let me get Mikey to come on up here. This is a good word right here. I don't want to be brought down. I've worked hard to get where I'm at. I want to stay here for a little bit. I've been broke. I like to not be broke, right? My family's doing well. We're all healthy. Thank you, Jesus. I spent 2 weeks in Mexico, and everything is working properly. Hallelujah. I was sick for almost 2 months last time. Hallelujah. He cares for us, right? He says, casting all your anxiety on him. Isn't that funny? Because in the church today, you're not allowed to tell people you have anxiety. But Peter said right here, people are going to have anxiety. It's biblical. We need to cast it on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Some of you, this is the important message. Some of you got anxiety, depression, and you've been hiding it. It's an offering to Jesus, it says right here. In your weakness, he's strong. So you try to act strong, you don't get his strength. Some people, sometimes you've got to be humble. Dealing with anxiety. I'm going to tell you one more story about Mexico, and then we're going to stop. I spent the first week in Jujutla, which is in the state of Morelos. We took the other three people who were there with me to the airport, and then I stayed at a hotel at the airport from Saturday morning until Monday morning, waiting for our team to come in. I guess Saturday afternoon. Anyway, I don't remember. Long time. Super tired. I was just exhausted, right? Spent a long time in bed. Just ate in the airport Saturday night. Sunday night, I wanted to eat in the airport again. I was just tired. We were going to eat this little Italian restaurant. Didn't look that great. I didn't really care. And Jen and Andres texted, "Hey, can we come on the trip tomorrow?" What? Started getting a little anxious about that. Like, oh, the things have to work out, right? Gave it to Sarah because she could handle that better than me, right? I just said, "Sarah, please. You take this burden." And she did, but the anxiety didn't leave. And as a matter of fact, it started increasing. Now, we were about to go to dinner, but I said, "I'm not going anywhere until this anxiety is dealt with." I told the guy who stayed with me because there's no possible way I'm staying in a hotel in a foreign country by myself for 2 days. That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. My marriage is too important to give the enemy that kind of open door into my life, right? And so I had to bring an interpreter, well, a guy who's bilingual, from the ministry with me in the hotel room, who snored way too much. Sweet Jesus, I have video of it if you'd like to. The missions base now call him the bear, if you understand. The bear, right? He would text me, "How's the bear doing?" You know, he's still sleeping, you know. So I I said, "Hey, I know we're about to go to dinner. I'm not going anywhere until I get some peace. I'm not going anywhere until I get some peace," right? Because I don't know what's going on in my heart right now. I'm not going anywhere without peace. They had, like, anxiety is doing something to me right now. So I put on music. I just began worshiping. And, you know, while I was ready to eat, we were kind of casual because we were going to stay in the airport. And I'm like, "I'm not going anywhere." So I just began worshiping. Just worshiping Jesus, singing songs of praise, lifting my voice, whatever. And, like, I could feel peace coming into the room, but it wasn't on me yet, right? But it was getting better, right? Decreasing. Okay, I don't know what's happening because I've been fine. Like, I don't know what's happening. So I'm praying, worshiping Jesus, just meditating on him, casting all my cares on him. And as I began to feel peace, I just laid on the ground, right? Laid on the ground, just began to just enjoy his love. And I laid on the ground, and this thought immediately popped in my head when I laid on the ground: go out to dinner. And I knew that meant don't have a meal at the airport. Get a cab and go to dinner. And there was a spot I wanted to go to that Felipe and I went to with Chris last time I was in Mexico City. And I was like, "Well, okay, I guess that's what we'll do." And so I got up and I told the bear, I said, "Hey, I'm gonna take you out to a good dinner, right?" And he's like, "Okay." And so I'm like, "Let me put on some pants," because we're kind of, and I was like, no, "we're not changing. We're just going now, right? We're just going now." Okay, we're not really dressed for a night's dinner. It's a little chilly out. We got on shorts and a t-shirt because we were just gonna eat at some little place in the airport. So we just go, right? We go downstairs, and I call an Uber because, again, Felipe taught me how to do that last year when we were in Mexico. And I'm not that, you know. And so we get an Uber, and we get in the car, and this is so funny. And I'm just sitting there. And again, I remember the last time I was in Mexico City with Felipe and Chris, we got words of knowledge for our Uber driver, and he got saved and prophesied over, and all this amazing stuff happened. And I'm like, I'm in Mexico City with an Uber in the backseat, but I'm tired, right? I'm really tired. I don't even want to be going to dinner here. I'm now regretting saying, "Let's go to dinner." I just wanted to go to bed. I want a quick meal and go to bed, right? Are you following me? So we're in the backseat of the car. We get in, and there's a Madonna song playing. Now, hear me. This is going to sound crazy. God is talking to me through the Madonna song. I'm like, I'm delirious now, right? So the Uber driver, who speaks absolutely no English, has this Madonna song on. And the lyrics say this: "Open your heart to me and I'll make you love me." I'm not going to sing it to you. It wasn't even one of her big songs. "Open your heart and I'll make you love me." And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I got to talk to this guy about opening his heart to God. So I just want to go eat. I need to go back to bed, right? So we begin talking to the guy. So I said, "Hey, you know, Bear, ask the driver And he goes, "Do you have any pain in his body? You have any pain in your body?" The guy's like, "No." And he says this, "I just have pain in my heart." This is going to take longer than I thought. Okay. So I began telling him about this Madonna song that was on when he came in, "Open Your Heart to Me and I'll Make You Love Me," right? And so we're talking to him, "Hey, you know, are you a church? Are you a Christian?" He goes, "Ah, I'm not a Christian." We're talking a little bit. It's like, "My girlfriend's a Christian. I grew up Catholic," he says. "So I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to be, but I don't know how." Okay, I guess I'm here for a reason, right? So we just begin ministering to the guy and told him about Jesus, the love of God, and like his entire body gets covered in goosebumps, right? Holy Ghost falls in the room, in the car. Wasn't in the room, it was a car. He's driving, so I'm like, "Stay your hand, Lord, stay your hand," right? And he's driving, we minister to him, he gets saved, and he gets visions while driving the cab. He's crying. No, amen, amen. Hey, it was Jesus, it was awesome. But check this out. He says to me afterwards, we're like, he can't describe what's happening to him. We tell him, you know, tell the church that your girlfriend goes to, you know, about it, whatever. He's like, "You're not going to believe this." He says, "I bet I will." He says, "When you called me," and he had a hard time finding us. "When you called me," he's like, "we're at the Mexico City airport. There's 100 Ubers there," right? So that alone was just kind of supernatural that we got him. He said, "I wasn't even in service. I wasn't taking calls. I was not taking assignments." He's like, goes asking him how it happened. He goes, "It pops up and the first one who takes the call gets it." He's like, "I wasn't even taking it. This just popped up on my screen that I was supposed to come pick you up." Hallelujah. How did all that come about? I determined in my heart, I'm going to cast my anxiety upon the Lord. Anxiety came on me. I said, "I'm not going to dinner with this thing." Now, I don't know if the Lord allowed the anxiety that I would seek him, because I was not seeking him. I just wanted to go to dinner and go to bed. I don't know if he allowed it for that to happen, or the timing, just he had the Perez's contact me, knowing that that would make me a little anxious because I'm not really an administrator, and the coordinating would get me a little. I don't know. I don't know how he did it. I don't know. He didn't tell me. And it doesn't matter. What matters is I cast my anxiety on him, and some freaky way, I don't know how, some guy that God had set apart for salvation got saved. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. We went a late day, but I'm blaming it on Corey. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel so very strongly today that God wants to exalt some people. Hallelujah. Just give me 1 second here as we try to transition. I'm gonna let you go. So Father, just put your hands out. Father, we love you. We thank you today that you care for us. You care for us. You care for us. Let's turn your affections to Jesus right now. Here we go. Lean into that. Thank you, Jesus, that you love people in this room right now. And I just release, Father, your grace. Your grace, Lord. Let me get the Mexican team to come here. Not all the Mexicans. The people who went on the team. Just come on to the front here. Turn around. Somebody may have given a testimony that you said, "Man, I need some of that." And some of you may just need your anxieties cast upon him. Now, we're not doing soaking prayer, team. Team, we're going to bless and release. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask today that you would ignite hearts and activate gifts. because we want to carry your goodness. You don't need it in the church. You need it out in the world. We want to carry it today. Kelly, will you come up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give me one more second. Please forgive me. Okay, I'm going to release you in one second. I'm going to invite you to the front. And so, but let me just pray for you. For those who need to leave, I'm going to let you go. I kept you a little long today. Father, we just thank you for your goodness towards us today. Who is man that you would be mindful of us? We don't deserve it, but you choose to do it. And you're just so amazing. If you're not right with God today, there's going to be some people right over here at this intercession banner. When I have an altar call, when I invite you to front receive prayer, 2 of you may come, 100 may come. I don't know. But if you need to get right with God, just come on over to this intercession banner, and someone's going to pray with you, and we're going to get it all worked out. Amen? But if you need to go, Father, I just bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I declare a blessing over these people. I thank you, Father, that as they're under the preached word today, as they're connected to a local church, that there is an impartation, there's a grace in their lives as they choose to humble themselves, not be separate, not be alone, not be prideful and exalt themselves, but that they would come under covering and really as they submit to man, they're submitting to you, and they would trust that you have what they need. And so, Lord, I just declare a blessing on their life. Blessing on their lives, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.